السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected elders and brothers in Islam, I'm sure that almost all of us are aware that this is the week where almost 1 year has passed since the onslaught in Gaza. And throughout the country and perhaps throughout the world, we remember the 7th of October last year, and soon, within a few days, will be the 7th of October, 1 year later. And within this period, almost 200,000 Ghazans have become shuhada. They have been murdered by the Zionist state of Israel. It pains us to see what has happened in this last year. There are lessons to be drawn for us. We also need to give the ummah hope. We cannot become despondent also. As mu'mineen, we never ever become despondent in the mercy of Allah. La taqunatu min rahmatillah. Do not become despondent in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mercy is all encompassing. But what can we do here on the southern tip of Africa? And what can we do to change the situation in the Middle East, far away from here? Now, as far as statistics are concerned, we all are aware of the statistics. We all are quite au fait with the news. And daily we see this on our screens, the dismembering of human bodies, including babies as well. And we see the destruction of so many masajid, so many houses of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so many buildings, homes. 70% of the buildings in Gaza have been flattened already. It's not on the 7th of October. What we need to remember and reinforce, and especially with our non-Muslim counterparts, when we engage with them, we need to continue the correct narrative. One benefit that has come out since 7th of October last year is that the global narrative has changed. It was always a pro-Israeli narrative that the world had seen because of the media control and domination by the Zionists. But today we see a new narrative has emerged, and the truth is unfolding day by day, so much so that even in Western pro-Zionist countries like the USA, we see the university students who are not Muslim, who are Jewish also, that they standing up for justice. We see academia, we see in many places of learning, and we see the general public that they are rising against this narrative, and they are very pro-Palestine, alhamdulillah. Now, it hadn't started on the 7th of October. We need to understand that it started long before that. It wasn't even in 2005. When Gaza became the largest open-air prison in the world, a prison where it was blockaded from the air, from the sea, from the land, blockaded completely with 2 million people living in captivity in Gaza. And daily, the bombing that takes place by the murderous Zionist regime upon the innocent population of Muslims in Gaza. So there are lessons for us to learn. There are further lessons for us to learn that this is not the only place that Muslims are being persecuted or oppressed. While we understand that 107 years ago that the Balfour Declaration was initiated, and this Muslim land was handed over to the British, it is those same British who we held in awe and who we still idolize in terms of their football teams, etc. We support their football teams. We're fanatical about their football teams. These same British, the havoc that they have rained on the Muslim Ummah cannot be fully described. It used to be said that the sun never sets on Britannia, but today we see that the sun has set. Long ago, but the damage that the British have done on the Muslim Ummah is immeasurable. So great the damage that has been done. Then from 1917 onwards, we saw the destruction of the Khilafah. And perhaps the two greatest tragedies that have faced the Muslim Ummah in the last century or so, the two greatest tragedies, one is the fall of the Khilafah. The fall of the Khilafah on the 3rd of March 1924, when the final Amirul Mu'mineen, if we can call him, or the Khalifa, or the head of the Uthmani Khilafat, which reigned from the 13th century, on the 3rd of March 1924, it was officially banned and sent to the dustbins of history. And as long as we have a Khalifa, we have an Amir over us, the Muslim Ummah, then the help of Allah is with us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his burial was delayed. Yet, he advocated that burial should take place in haste, but yet his own burial was delayed. And why was the delay? Because of the appointment of a Khalifa, an Amirul Mu'mineen. We know what transpired after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the delay in appointing a Khalifa till finally Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was appointed Khalifa to Rasulullah. So we understand the importance of a Khalifa, a hand of rahmat and shafqat on this ummah. We understand. But that's not the topic. So we need to remember that it's not only Gaza. As we sit in our comfort here, and we have a lot to be grateful for, there are Muslims who are under siege in Indian-occupied Kashmir. Almost 100% Sunni Muslim who are under siege in Kashmir. The highest concentration of any military anywhere in the world per population is in Kashmir, where thousands of Muslim women have been raped. Muslim men have been killed. Organs have been stolen from Muslims. As we sit and as we enjoy the Chinese goods that we import, and almost all of us consume the cheap Chinese goods, we forget that they are great persecutors of Islam as well. Hundreds of masajid have been destroyed in China, in atheist China. Like how the cow urine drinking Hindus are doing currently in India, that masajid are being destroyed. They have a certain taste for destroying the places of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the persecution carries on. In Africa, we see the mayhem in Sudan currently. How many of us are aware of what is happening in Sudan at the very moment? Again, Muslim majority, which has been split up into two. So like this, country after country we see. And then we see the Islamophobia that we see in Europe and we see in America. And the fact that one of our sisters is still incarcerated, Sister Afia Siddiqa, while the world may have forgotten her, a woman innocently incarcerated for 143 years or so in prison, solitary confinement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't forgiven her, hasn't forgotten her. So we need to take a holistic view of what is happening to the global ummah throughout the world. And the genocide in Palestine is continuing. It hasn't started on the 7th of October. It's continuing from the last 75 years. And daily Muslims are being killed, dismembered, brutally. Even the dead have no respect. How many qabristans where the shuhada have been buried have been desecrated? Even the dead haven't been spared by these Zionists. And we need to make a distinction between Jews and Zionists. Zionism is a secular atheistic ideology which has nothing to do with religion. We need to separate the two. When we speak also, we need to understand that Zionism and Judaism are two different entities and issues. So this is the sorrowful state of the Ummah. Now what can we do? Coming back again, let's just take some lessons. We do not want to go into too many statistics of Gaza. Most of us are aware. And news today and statistics are on the fingertips of each and every one of us. So what are the lessons we take? There is a kitab, Fawaidul Balwa. In this kitab, there are 17 virtues of conditions like this mentioned. But for the sake of brevity and limitation of time, we'll just discuss a few. Number one, when these things happen, then it demonstrates to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully cognizant, is fully aware of what is happening in Gaza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what is happening throughout the world. Everything belongs to Him. The earth belongs to Him. The land belongs to Him. We belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will ask, why is He allowing it to happen? He has reasons why He is allowing it to happen, but we as an ummah need to introspect that where have we gone wrong? What have we done wrong in the process? So the first thing is, it demonstrates the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn the tables at any time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the conditions at any time. This is within His power, His prerogative. So that's the first. The second one is that it reminds us how helpless and weak we are. Our ajizi. That we are helpless. We are totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not our military might. It's not our financial might. It is solely the help of Allah. And we are weak in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third lesson that Allah wants us to learn or to turn. Allah wants us to draw a lesson that we need to turn to Allah in repentance and in dua. In repentance and in dua. We need to make ruju' ila Allah. We need to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an ummah. We need to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to make istighfar. We need to seek forgiveness for our sins, for our shortcomings, which every one of us has as a collective. The fourth lesson we need to learn is that we need to exercise sabr. In hardship, in difficulties, ista'inu bisabri wassalah. Seek the help of Allah. With ista'inu bisabri wassalah. With sabr, with patience, and with salah. Fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who make sabr. When we see the Palestinians, that no matter how much of difficulty they are going through, but we will never find them generally complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will fight back. They will do what they have to do. And really, if a nation has been tested, they have been tested. We can never be judgmental about any person or any nation that they are getting the azab of Allah. We don't have knowledge of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them to the extreme. The next lesson, the fifth lesson, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is affording us an opportunity to assist others. When these halat take place, and they haven't taken place in our country, we haven't been subjected to something like this, then this is an opportunity for us to rise to the occasion. Open our hearts, open our purses, and help those people who are in distress. The one who helps another Muslim in distress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in his help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him, and especially on the day of Qiyamah. The sixth lesson we can learn from this is that we need to appreciate what we have. Shukr. Generally, we find that we're always complaining. We always complain. We complain about the weather. We complain about the conditions. And everything, we generally complain. How often do we make shukr? If we compare ourselves to what those people are going through, or other people throughout the world, how much shukr do we make? When we live in comfortable homes, and last week we had very adverse weather conditions in our country, and while we complain within the comfort of our solid homes about the rain, about the cold, there are people in our country who live in informal settlements. What they may be going through, do our minds even go through, try to understand what an informal settlement home may look like in such adverse weather conditions? So that's the next lesson. And the final lesson is that when conditions like this come, is that it's an opportunity to earn the akhirat. Great rewards on sabr, on losing one's life. The ultimate price a human being, a mu'min can give, is to give one's life. And they are giving their lives. They're giving their lives. And in the process, they will attain Jannah, inshallah. Now, my final message in the few minutes we have. We spoke about informal settlements. How many of us are aware that in South Africa, between 12 and 15% of the population live in informal settlements? We call them jondols, squatter camps, or whatever name we may call them, but they're informal settlements. We're surrounded by them. If you drive a few kilometers this way or that way, we will see the informal settlements. And the highest number of informal settlements is found in the Itekweni region. And in the Itekweni region, there are 580 informal settlements. Only Itekweni region, 580. And only in KZN Itekweni region I'm speaking about, there are 314,000 households or families that live in informal settlements. The gap between the haves and the have-nots, the divide we can see, is getting wider by the day. And when this gap becomes very wide, we know that what it leads to. We've experienced the taste of it a few years ago. So we need to be cognizant of what is happening. As a Muslim minority in this country, living in this country, we need to be cognizant of the levels of poverty on our doorstep. We need to understand that human beings do not have basic needs. The suffering of human beings. Try to imagine life in a squatter, in an informal squatter home one day. Try to imagine. It's pouring for the last 24 hours. What the state of the home will be like. And when you look out of that home, you see a palatial home with lights switched on, enjoying comforts. What goes through the heart of that person at that time? Try to just imagine it. So as a community, we need to refocus ourselves. That we are living as a minority in this country. We need to spread Islam, and not only Islam, but we need to share the ni'mats of Allah that He has given us with those who are less advantaged than us. Now, one point from this, and I will end with this, is that the wastage of money in our community is colossal. Everyone will agree with us here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made avenues of spending for benefit. And one of those avenues that we are not spending to our benefit and to our detriment, one example out of many, is our weddings and our functions. We're spending millions, if you can go into billions, rather, countrywide, as an ummah. We're spending in getting two people together in the name of Allah, which is as simple as two rakats of salah. Nobody is saying, do not express joy and happiness. It is a happy occasion, joyful occasion. We need to express our joy within the parameters of the Sharia. That's the important thing, within the parameters of the Sharia. Now, we are having these lavish functions. Who is serving us? Who is watching us? And then we complain and we cry foul when we get held up, when we get invaded, and we get kidnapped, and when we grossly display our wealth to others who are less fortunate. What is the natural outcome of such a situation? This is one example. So there's one person living among four individuals. Some years back, maybe perhaps between 40 and 50 years ago, they made a secret pact. And one of them living is Dr. Musa Randeri, and I asked his permission before taking his name. I just wanted to confirm this with him. So I met him, Dr. Musa Randeri, well-known person in Durban. He and the late Dr. A.M. Mullah and two other people, I don't remember their names, but they made a pact between them that they will never attend any function, wedding function, even if it's their own children too. They will not attend if there's more than X number of people invited, not because it's not permissible, but because of the colossal wastage of the community's funds in the wrong avenue. Dr. Musa Randeri is the only person living of those individuals. And he mentioned to me that even my son's walima I did not attend. Keeping to my principle. So this is a lesson for us to take. That these were not ulama. They were ordinary people. But they had the moral conscience as human beings of what is around them. And not today, a few decades ago. So this is a very important lesson for us to draw and take. One caterer mentioned that he catered in a function recently. Just the decor, leave alone the food. The decor cost 600,000 rand. How many homes will that build? With 600,000 rand, you can build 12 brick structure homes. You can house 12 families with that. But we haven't learned lessons as a community. 49 hasn't taught us a lesson. 85 hasn't taught us a lesson. The recent riots, looting, hasn't taught us a lesson yet. When will we learn as a community, as a minority? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.